Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to this morning's edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and I did look it up. I took the time to look up our start date, and yesterday, November 30th, marks 5 years of Ag Matters Radio being on the air. I don't know really how to feel about that. It kind of, the passage of time sometimes makes me feel a little older, I guess. I don't know, but it's still exciting, and I'm happy about all the shows that we've been covering for the last 5 years. This morning, my guest is Bill Borden with High Caliber Realty. Should be hearing him call in any second now. Oh, Bill, you there?
I'm here. Good morning, Amy.
Oh, good morning. Welcome. So happy to have you on the line this morning. Bill, where are you calling in from?
Today, I am in a little town called Smyrna, Georgia, at a bank function. Headed back in state here very shortly for Christmas.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm guessing it's a little colder up here, but I'll let you know that we are having a little bit of a heat wave in Palmer this morning. It was 21 degrees as I was driving over to the studio, and my daughters were commenting that it's so much warmer than the last couple of days.
Absolutely my favorite time of the year. This heat just kills me.
Oh, well, what is the temperature down there?
It's a balmy 72 with bright sunshine and wisp of sun. A wisp of clouds in the sky.
Okay, Bill, I don't want to hear you complain about that.
It's terrible.
All right. Well, a couple of quick reminders before we jump into the show. Again, Ag Matters Radio has been on the air now 5 years, and we've been telling positive agriculture stories from all across the state. All the shows are archived on the Radio Free Palmer website, so I just encourage folks to go take a look at some of the other stories that we've told over the years, because there's lots of great things happening out there. And one great thing that we want to talk about today, and the reason I asked Bill to come on the show, is that hopefully folks have heard that the meat plant here in Palmer has been purchased, is under new ownership, and the doors are open. And Bill, you are involved in that on a couple of different levels, so I wanted to have you come on and talk about it a little bit. Before we jump into those details, tell me a little bit about your Alaska experience. I typically ask my guests, how did you get to Alaska, and how did you get involved in Alaska agriculture, which I know that's not your primary endeavor, but tell me a little bit about your Alaska story.
Well, the very first trip we ever made to Alaska, I was sitting in my lofty set when my wife Brenda heard on the radio that there was a great airfare. Believe it or not, $196 round trip to Alaska. 97. I absolutely detested it. I did not care for Alaska. It was just too crowded. Then I realized it was all the tourists.
Oh,
but
okay.
We did drive by the city limit sign to our home right now, Wasilla, and it said home of the Iditarod at the time. And I'd always watched that on Wide World of Sports, which, of course, is today's generation's ESPN, our generation's ESPN. I said, I've got to see one of those dogs. One thing led to another. We had the law office. We had the mortgage company. We had the real estate company. We toured a kennel. We ended up on the front page of the Anchorage Daily News, the very next March, in helping Musher get back into the race with some mortgages, and it just became home. Ended up running the Iditarod in 2002.
Wow.
And absolutely loved it. Finished the Iditarod. It was one of the best things I've ever did. When I land at the airport at Ted Stevens, it just feels home all the time.
Okay.
And of course, everybody thinks I'm crazy because my favorite time of the year is right now in Alaska.
I think
that's
you're crazy,
Bill.
Me.
Yes. So I absolutely, love the winter, love the freedom of the winter, of being able to get on a dog team or a snow machine and take off for miles, if not thousands of miles.
Yeah.
And we can jump one bar ditch right out of our place in Wasilla and be on the trail system that I can go all the way to Nome, and I absolutely love that.
Wow. Okay. Well, to each their own, I guess, because I would switch places with you, I think, in a heartbeat, but that's okay. I always refer to myself as kind of a bad Alaskan. This is my 16th winter, I think, and I'm still not excited about it, so I don't think that's going to change. But anyway, Bill, let's jump into the story of Alaska Meatpackers Incorporated. How did you get involved in this endeavor?
Wow. Well, you know, I always tell people I've been selling real estate now for next month will be 43 years.
Oh, actually, congratulations.
Yeah, this month. Well, next month. Today's the 30th, so next month. And in the 43 years running everything from first-time home buyers all the way up through multi-million-dollar deals, I'm always telling people that you're not in control. Simply say a prayer. And if it's meant to be, it will work out. And if it's not meant to be, a better deal or a better house will come along. And this is one of those deals that just came together with unbelievable precision when we started working with it. Back in May, High Caliber, myself, Kim Peltier, our Northwest Territories manager, yes, the country music singer, he sells real estate in his real life. We've both been involved in corporate America for many, many years. However, we were both had a farm background. And, of course, you know, Ken sat down with myself and Greg from Mike's Quality Meats. And Greg was telling us that, you know, he's ready to be out of that wholesale portion of the business. He had bought that property, put a lot of money into that property, and decided that it just wasn't in fitting with his particular business plan at this point in time. So we set about to try to sell the property. Well, it was at that point in time, I got a call from David Shady, a great guy, division of agriculture director.
Right.
And David was telling me that, you know, Bill, this has to be a meat plant. At this point in time, I was really unaware of the limited availability for USDA slaughterhouses in Alaska. But as David explained to me, we have to keep this a meat plant. So Ken and I set about trying to figure out how in the world we were going to do this and still sell this property for Greg to be able to maintain the meat plant. Well, then I talk about this to Greg and my favorite Greek butcher, and he says, I want to keep it a meat plant. Alaska needs to have the meat plant. Do everything you can to keep it the meat plant. So now I've got permission from my customer to say, okay, we're going to try to keep it a meat plant. Now, interestingly enough, it was about that. I had never met David at the time. And interestingly enough, I had a call from Cheryl Mativa. And Cheryl and I are in Rotary together, the Matanuska, who sit in a Rotary, sit in a Rotary Club.
Yep.
And she says, I need a favor. She's to be my neighbor. Well, when Cheryl says I need a favor, the first words out of my mouth, sure, Cheryl, whatever you need. I'm thinking, okay, she needs me to bar the truck or MC something. Marty's not available, whatever. So we ended up, I immediately said, sure. Well, and I hear her turn around and goes, Bill says he'll do it. I'm like, what did I just agree to?
Yeah, you never know what that was going to be, right?
Right. So this is Thursday night. And I said, what did I just agree to? And she said, Bill, thank you for agreeing to be a celebrity chef at the Alaska Grown Agricultural Day at the fair.
Oh, okay.
I had never even watched a celebrity chef. So.
Oh, well, you're missing out.
Right. But I do know how to cook. So then I find out that it's going to be a Iditarod Finishers. But, you know, the interesting thing, and I have to put this out there because I don't know if it's coincidence or this has really happened. It was myself and Matt Fahler and his wife, who had a great couple. Then they had Martin and Dee Dee signed up to do this. Well, I think what happened, I don't think it has anything to do with one of them was busy and the other one was out of state and couldn't get back. I think they just found out that I was competing, and neither Martin nor Dee Dee wanted to compete against me.
Okay, well, so, noted.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
And so another local radio host and Elvis competed against me, and I'm thrilled to death that I came in second to Matt and Liz, because they've got a great cooking. They needed that publicity for their tour operation and everything. But interesting, at that particular venue, that was when I first met David Shady in person.
Okay.
And, you know, David said, you know, we've got to talk about this slaughterhouse. We've got to make this work. So we had next the following Tuesday, and we were talking. I said, you know, when I sell a piece of property, letters of intent come through, and then we work on the contracts. But the biggest problem with me selling this as a slaughterhouse is when I take this to outside investors, I'm going to need to be able to prove to them that we have the heads of beef and the heads of pork and swine to be able to run the slaughterhouse.
Make it financially feasible.
Exactly. And I said, I would like for you to help me contact some of the larger producers in the area, and let's see if we can get some non-binding, non-contractual letters of intent that says, hey, if you buy this slaughterhouse, we're going to be able to open it, and I'm going to bring you this amount of heads of cattle or swine or whatever for next year. And so we started out. Well, surprisingly enough, of all the people I reached out to, only one person responded.
Oh.
All the farmers and, you know, all those large farmers, only one responded. And that was a gentleman by the name of Todd Ellsbury with Ellsbury Farms up in North Pole.
Right.
And Todd is a very astute businessman. I was thrilled to death to make his acquaintance at that time. And he started to talk to me about his operation. And then one thing led to another, and we realized that with the size of his operation, and if I could put a deal together to allow him to run this organization, he had a gentleman that's been a butcher for 40 years, Chris Miller. He was able to line him up to run the plant, and Todd had the ability to actually supply the plant and keep the plant in the black. So that means the rest of the farmers could come and go as they wanted, but that plant would be in the black, and we could at least supply that amount of food for Alaskans, and hopefully staying below the 15% USDA rate, 15% above USDA rates, number, so that people wouldn't have to import meat and they could eat Alaskan grown meat. Well, with that said, that allows the other farmers to up their production. And that's one of the things that Todd and Chris at Alaska Meat Packers Incorporated are asking now, for people to call the plant, these farmers, whether you have one or two head a year or whether you have 600 or 700 head a year, to call the plant now and make reservations. You can change those reservations, but in any good business, they need the ability to plan.
Right.
So if they're able to plan. So we were able to put together, and I mean, with Greg, Greg turned down a higher offer that was not going to keep that a slaughterhouse. Of course,
wow.
Under law, I have to present everything to him, and
sure.
He turned down a higher offer.
Okay.
Because he wanted it to be a slaughterhouse, and he worked very, very hard to help us put a deal together with Todd to be able to make this slaughterhouse, or keep this a USDA slaughterhouse, and things just came together. The USDA office in Denver, usually a month or two process, they were able to get the permit and everything switched over within a week.
Wow.
I mean, they helped. Todd was just, Bill, just make it happen. He knew it needed to happen. So I tried to create a win-win situation. And that has really, you know, with the Farm Bureau meeting we had a couple of weeks ago, we got a great reception there. Everybody loved the fact that it was still open. I believe Scott Mugrage is going to be supplying beef to the plant as well.
Absolutely.
And it's just a, there's a lot of large farmers that are going to be supplying. And then they're also looking for even the hobby farmers with one or two head a year to make those reservations. And it was one of those things, and it goes right back to what I've said for 43 years. If it's meant to be, it's going to happen. And while I would like to take credit for it, it was way beyond my power to get a businessman like Todd, a butcher like Chris, a businessman like Greg, division of agriculture, government involved in this, all come together and make this happen without any state money or federal grants or anything. This all came together, and now a farmer is in control of the USDA plant, so he knows what the farmers need.
Absolutely.
And that's really exciting. You know, we're also working with, we have a couple of new listings of High Caliber Realty does out in the Delta, and we're working with some folks down on the Kenai, working on the food sustainability as far as getting growing crops to be able to support this increased livestock. We're on the verge of actually getting to a point where Alaska could be. It's a long-term process, but we're on the verge of making Alaska self-sufficient as far as the food goes. And it's finally coming together after many, many years.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that.
Well, I can hear it in your voice. And I know that, you know, you being involved, you know, you, of course, you don't want to take complete credit. And there were a lot of hands at the table that made it happen. But quick reminder to folks, this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me on the call this morning is Bill Borden with High Caliber Realty, and also involved in the ownership structure of the Alaska Meat Packers Incorporated. We're talking about the recent change of hands of that facility, and folks are excited, Bill. I'm getting a lot of calls and messages about it, having a lot of conversations with producers, and of course everyone's a little bit cautious, right? Because the meat plant has been an issue for decades. Folks have always been concerned that it's going to get shut down, and when Greg bought it, that was what, 4 or 5 years of operation, and then it, you know, kind of unexpectedly shut down again. So I appreciate the optimism in your voice and in your piece of the story. And I love that Todd's involved. You know, like you said, having a producer at the helm, someone who understands production cycles and the need for long-term planning, et cetera, I think that that is a, you know, it's only going to add to the upside of the deal. I'd like you to share, if you can, Bill, what is the best way for folks to get in touch with the meat plant? Do they have an email, a phone number? Is there a website where they can, you know, check the schedule? How do we let producers know to get in touch with the meat plant?
Well, there is a website. It goes to a Facebook page now that has all the information you could possibly need on it. It is Alaska Meat Packers Inc. or AlaskaMeatPackers.com. I'm sorry.
Okay.
AlaskaMeatPackers.com. And the email is info@AlaskaMeatPackers.com. And I am at a complete blank as to what the phone number is, but it is on the website.
I think it is. Yeah.
At Alaska Meat Packers. But it is also the exact same phone number as McKinley Meats had.
Oh,
so
perfect.
So we got McKinley Meats' number. We kept that phone number. We have Lacey Sanders, who is the front-end manager there, handling the phone calls and such. We have Chris Miller, who, like I said earlier, 40-year butcher, used to work up at the North Pole plant sometime, one of the smaller plants. And Chris is there in charge of plant operations and scheduling and buying and that type of stuff. You know, as far as the... I have yet to be involved in a business that's failed, and I will have to say that the plant, and I can't go into details, but I will tell you the plant is properly capitalized. It is being updated to run efficiently. It is no longer a, quote, training facility. It is stepping up. We hope to be up hopefully by the end of the year or first of next to 2 shifts. We hope to be a solid Palmer employer, as well as the producer of most of the meat product in Alaska.
I love it. Well, I did pull up the Facebook page really quick. That phone number is 745-5232 for folks that are looking for it. And I do appreciate all the information that is on the Facebook page, including prices, et cetera. So, you know, when the plant was operated under state ownership, a person could just pull into the plant and there was a retail component to Mount McKinley Meat and Sausage. Is that something that exists now with Alaska Meat Packers? Can you stop in and buy product from the plant? Or at this point, is it just a production facility for producers?
At this point, they're gearing up for production. We hope to have the retail piece back in place. One of the things we're not going to do, though, is sacrifice the mass production, commercial size production for our Alaska farmers while trying to do retail. But it will hopefully eventually, if we have product that the local retailers, Matt Valley, Mike's Meats is still buying from the plant as well. We have local restaurants and other groceries that are contracting with the plant. So everything is just falling together perfectly. But the retail piece of it, just what I would say is follow the Facebook page, the website, watch the and we will announce that when that comes back into when we're able to make that happen.
Okay, perfect. And I appreciate also that you mentioned that it's no longer a training facility. Of course, folks who have followed the plant for decades know that when it was under state ownership, they used Department of Corrections prison labor to keep costs low, and they also trained those prisoners for for a skill that they could use outside of the corrections facility. But you stated that that's not part of this operation. We've got employees there, et cetera.
That is correct. And as I said earlier, Chris, the manager, being a master butcher himself, while he's not physically laying hands on it, he knows the product, knows the trade, and he is he's really trying to gear it up so that we're a commercial volume facility. And what we're really counting on, while it does take time to increase those herds, and Chris will be reaching out to the different farmers and stuff, now is the time in Alaska to increase your herds.
Yeah.
You have the ability to make money, and this all has to work together. The farmers have to work with the plant. While Todd is an excellent businessman and can cover the cost of the plant, which is his operation, he is really looking to add that second shift. He's really looking to hear from these farmers saying, yes, I'm going to increase my herd by 50%. I'm going to double my herd. I am ready to make this happen for you. Now, while the plant is in Palmer, and yes, we know Alaska is a big place, we hopefully in the future will be able to have some depots around the state to allow the smaller farmers that can't afford to truck three or four animals to drop off at the depot, and we can bring them all to the plant. At that point in time, that's not in place yet, but I cannot emphasize enough, if you are a farmer in Alaska, it is time to increase your herds to make this plant as profitable as possible so that everybody's rewarded with Alaska-grown meat.
Yeah.
Now it's time to increase those herds.
Well,
we're looking at a 40,000 square foot facility that has been way underutilized by the state because it was a training facility, and they probably touched maybe 10% of the capacity of that plant.
Yeah, and I know that was always one of the issues that was brought up about, you know, why the facility couldn't run in the black, et cetera. One of the things I'm curious about is if you could put on your magic glasses, Bill, and look to the future 5 years from now. What do you think? How do you think Alaska Meat Packers Incorporated has changed? What do you hope we've accomplished in the next 5-year time period?
5 years from now, I would venture to say that it will be hopefully running double shifts with the cooperation of the farmers, or at least part-time double shifts. It will be fully functional for one shift, 365 days a year at least. I think we'll have the ability to pick up at satellite locations and deliver back to satellite locations. I think with more volume comes efficiency. With more volume comes price reduction. I think you have, if you have farmers working together and High Caliber Realty is working some more with the Division of Ag to work on the ability to feed those heads of cattle, those heads of pork, to be able to get more barley grown, get what we need to be completely self-sustainable. I think 5 years from now, if it works the way I think it should work, we are probably going to see Alaska-grown meat products actually the same price, if not cheaper, than what you could import it for from outside.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, I think that's the case right now. Goodness, the price of meat has just skyrocketed. I've seen products in the grocery stores, and I grew up on a beef cattle operation. I've tracked the industry all my life, and some of the prices that I'm seeing on retail meat right now, boy, if, you know, and we all know that a huge piece of that dollar that the customer pays at the retail grocery store does not go back to the farmer. The farmer sees maybe 3 to 7 cents of that dollar, which is very unfortunate. We want to increase, or, you know, we want to tighten up that gap, which buying locally helps us do, but prices are going up, so hopefully our Alaskan producers can find a way to make it work, importing feed or growing more feed. You know, the livestock industry is such an anchor component of the entire agriculture industry. When the livestock industry succeeds, the whole industry succeeds. So we are so happy to have this piece of the puzzle figured out, and it's folks like you who get in there and, you know, are committed to finding an answer, and we're super appreciative that you've done that and excited to watch it expand over the next couple of years.
Amy, you know, you hit on two things there. It is a piece of the puzzle. And you were talking about importing feed. With the help of Mike, the governor, all of the legislatures, David Shady at the Division of Agriculture, myself, Kim Peltier, High Caliber Realty, one of the things we'd like to see, now that we have a farmer that knows the production part, in charge of the processing part, and we have good people in the retail part that are already out there, and we know there's a need for retail, that one piece of the puzzle we're missing is the feed.
Yeah.
So now we've got to get with the legislature, now we've got to get with the farmers, now we've got to get people to step forward, and we've got the state has the ability, and in your organization, maintaining that farmland to grow that feed locally. We have enough in Alaska here to grow that feed locally and support larger and larger herds to become more self-sufficient on ourselves.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need to do.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited about it. Like I said, this is a key piece of the puzzle. And when we heard that the plant shut down, there was like a devastating gasp by the entire state, whether you were involved in livestock or not. So to see it back online is really exciting. We wish nothing but success for Todd and Sherry and your involvement. And you're right, Chris is the right man to have at the head of the game over there. Bill, we're just about out of time. One of my favorite questions to ask all my guests is, what is your favorite thing, Alaska-grown thing, to eat this time of year? What are you looking forward to eating when your feet hit back in Alaska?
Well, you know, there's two things there. One, of course, when you say, what is my favorite thing to eat? Well, I'm a celebrity chef. I'm
an agriculturist. You are now.
But no, I am. I love steak. I was raised on a beef farm. I used to clean out the freezer after school when I get home from high school. I love beef, so a nice thick steak will be what I will be eating. For all your listeners, send me birthday greetings. Day after Christmas, I always eat steak on my birthday.
Okay,
that
perfect.
Is a tradition. That's my favorite Alaska-grown steak.
I love it, and now it's going to be
where
more.
I can buy it.
That's right. Now it's more accessible. Well, Bill, it's been a pleasure chatting with you this morning. I'll have to have you on again in about 6 months or so, and we'll see how things are going. But thank you for taking the time to join me on Ag Matters Radio, and best of luck to Alaska Meatpackers.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you for everything you do for the farming industry with Alaska Farmland Trust. And if anybody needs to get a hold of me, they can find my contact information at highcaliberrealty.com or Kim Peltier's there as well.
Perfect. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.